The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
A little earlier than usual, it's time for our weekly medical consultation with Dr. Ray Whalley. Good to see you, Ray. I want to talk to you about something that perhaps people think is that you go to the dentist to get sorted out, but something that GPs like yourself deal with as well, oral health. And let's start with something like halitosis. Is that something that you'd treat, or is it something that you would look at because it might be a giving indication of other medical problems?
Certainly it's a common presentation to GPs. It's something which obviously could be due to oral health, but we're also aware that in a small percentage of cases, it can reflect chronic disease.
And we say halitosis, chronic bad breath.
Exactly. Like, okay, we've all had a feed of garlic and basically you've got a garlic smell off your breath for a while, or you similarly with onions or something like that. This is something which is persistent.
Or drink.
Or alcohol, yes. Well, part of that can be you're dehydrated, and dehydration is another cause, definitely.
Okay, so what are the other causes of halitosis?
Well, when we're doing an assessment, we start with a general symptomatic assessment, checking that you don't have any other issues. Like, for example, it's quite common with constipation. It's common with diarrhoea. So obviously, you've got prolonged diarrhoea, we'd be looking at gastrointestinal causes. If you've got prolonged constipation, we'd be looking at conditions related to that. But equally, it can be related to diabetes, reflux, getting some heartburn, getting a sour taste in your mouth, which also could be presenting with the halitosis, liver disease or kidney disease. But they are the minority of causes. The majority, unfortunately, is people may have some cavities. They may have some gum disease. So you're looking at the dentition. You're looking to make sure that they're healthy gums. And you're going into things like, are you washing your teeth twice a day? And what is evidence is that people who use the electric toothbrushes have a higher revs per minute. And basically, they appear to be better at cleaning the teeth than the ordinary brush, and equally using floss between your teeth.
Okay, because otherwise, if you don't do that, presumably there's all sorts of bacteria start mounting inside in the mouth.
Yes, and unfortunately, over the years, I've met some children who've eaten a lot more sweets than other kids, or kids that are taking a lot of carbonated minerals. We won't name them. But basically, you'll find those kids presenting with rotten teeth quicker than the kids who don't. So I'm afraid diet is a big factor in this. So if you're a person who's chewing gum, take the sugar-free one, because the sugar is a big precipitant of rotting teeth.
Okay, and it's just something that taking mouthwash isn't going to sort out for you, is it?
No, all that does is take away the smell, but it also you've got to go through, when we're doing an assessment, especially in older people, we'll go through an assessment to make sure they're not on certain medications that reduce saliva. Saliva is the first part of your digestive system. It's an acid, and it also has the benefit of being antibacterial in your mouth. So if you're on medication, you might be on antidepressants or some other medications which could dry your mouth. And there are some chronic rheumatology diseases that cause dry mouth, and equally it can go with getting older. One of the things which can be with older people is they present with, we're going to progress on to the next one called ulcers. But basically, if you lose any weight or gain any weight and you wear dentures, unfortunately, that changed the apposition of the dentures on your gums, and you tend to get ulcers, and they can get infected, causing basically bad breath as well.
Do many people now have dentures? It used to be a thing in previous generations where teeth were whipped out, and even from middle age, people would have full set of dentures, top or bottom. But is that something that's avoided at all costs now by dentists?
Well, thankfully, 80% of people, I gather around 55 years of age, still have their teeth because we've had better dental care. I'm aware that there is a new oral health program coming out from the Department of Health. I'm sure the Dental Association will have their views on that. But predominantly, you know, we have had better oral care than we've had many years ago. So people are keeping their teeth. But a big factor here is, you know, looking after your teeth.
Okay, talk to me about mouth ulcers. What are they?
So the ulcers we get in our mouth are called aphthous ulcers. And, you can sometimes look at your mouth and you've got some ridging in there, and that can be an ulcer. We only really concerned about ones that are lasting 3 weeks or so. Up till then, ones can happen from, again, poor care. You could have you could have difficulty with rotting teeth. You can have gum, you could have some gum disease that will cause it. But equally, same with halitosis. A big precipitant of this can be cigarettes. So stopping smoking is
but
a big factor.
But if you have a mouth ulcer, in what damage does it done apart, does it do apart from discomfort, and what can you do to get rid of it?
Well, if it's a serious one, because unfortunately some of these things in a very minor number of cases can be cancerous and they can erode. And I'm afraid, think about where they're eroding into. They're eroding into your gum, and then they're eroding upwards into your bone. So basically, you know, majority of them are probably viral related and they're self-limiting in that. But equally, you know, making sure that you are not deficient in iron, making sure that you are not deficient in vitamin B12 and folic acid. So if somebody presents to us with those things, we actually check those things out as general practitioners. People who are in the menopause where they have changing hormone levels can have it as well. Injury, obviously, we've talked about ill-fitting dentures. You could get a graze from a something like a harsh toothbrush if you too aggressively clean your teeth. Rarely food allergies. They can run in families. Specifically, I've seen it also in people who've given up cigarettes, who've got absolutely horrific mouth ulcers, and you've literally referred them to the dental hospital to be reviewed to make sure they're having something more serious. You can get it with some medication, some of the anti-nicotine medication. You can get it with anti-inflammatory medications. That's simple things like ibuprofen. You can get it with oral nicotine replacement. So again, there's an element of the nicotine causing it and the withdrawal of the nicotine from cigarettes. What you've got to realise with cigarettes is there are also over 3,000 poisons. And unfortunately, within cannabis, there's the same constituents as cigarettes, so you can get it with that again. Some street drugs, such as cocaine, can cause it. So it is a multitude of different things. If somebody presents to us, we're straight away telling them the minority of people are going to have a problem with this. We might be prescribing some chlorhexidine mouthwash. We might be telling them to buy some ones over the counter. You can get ones that are infected. You may, in a minority of cases, use an antibiotic. Majority of times, you don't.
Okay, let's move on to dental abscesses, because, again, that's something you go to the dentist about, isn't it? Or is it strictly a dental condition?
It is strictly a dental condition, but I would say most general practitioners, especially who work in the medical card system, feel as if they're the first presentation to these, because I'm afraid we still have virtually same day access with a lot of GPs, including myself. And basically, so you've got somebody, you've got to assess. Often they're presenting with a swollen face. You've got to outrule other issues because they could have sinusitis problems and things like that. So we're treating with dental, with antibiotics. All of these people need to go to a dentist, because you could have a rotting tooth causing this problem, and that ain't going to go away until you deal with the issue. In the modern day dental care, you would hope that the dentist can preserve the tooth or do some form of reconstruction to ensure it's all resolved. But certainly it needs to be looked at. And I'm afraid we treat it with an antibiotic, we look at it and we send it on to a dentist. And that's the limit of my knowledge on dentistry, I hate to say.
Okay. But you tipped on it earlier when you were talking about mouth ulcers, that a small proportion could be oral cancer. Now, this is obviously cancers of what in the mouth? You could get the tongue.
Yes, 1/5 of cancers are, I gather, oral cancer, so it's not an uncommon issue. I'm a big precipitant of this is alcohol and cigarettes. The majority of the throat cancers, like we're talking throat cancers around here, that I've seen have been cigarettes related. They tend to be horrific illnesses. So automatically, if it's something that stops you smoking, oral cancer is it. It's something whereby it's a very good service. You got in to see the specialist very quickly. The dental hospital often deal with that. And the oral maxillary facial surgeons, who are highly experienced individuals, deal with it. And people tend to be given scenes quickly because they are very, very serious illnesses.
And if you get an oral cancer, do they tend to develop very quickly?
Yes. Unfortunately, they don't have a great prognosis, because unfortunately they tend to be very aggressive tumours, and very, very, people end up very sick. And because of where it is, you're talking often major reconstructive surgery with the use of radiotherapy and things like that in a very constrained area of your mouth.
So what are the telltale signs?
One, the risk factor is straight away. So for example, if I refer somebody with an oral cancer, automatically if I'm dealing with an oncological nurse, they'll say to me, are they a smoker? Because automatically...
Yeah, but no, I mean sort of the visual signs or feeling. I mean, how will you know the difference between a mouth ulcer and what could be a cancer?
Something that's persistent. The main thing here is the majority of ulcers or swellings in your mouth tend to resolve fairly quickly. So if you've got something persisting 2 or 3 weeks, you need to go and see your GP.
All right, we will leave it there. Dr. Ray Whalley, thank you very much for joining us for our weekly medical consultation.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.